Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. This is brought to you by the Tucson Institute of Catholic Apologetics. Pleased to introduce my guest this time, my brother in the Diocese of Tucson, Ed Gravelin. Ed, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, William. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you for reaching out to me all those months ago to talk about what we're going to talk about today. Exactly. So it's my pleasure to have you on here. Now, last week I had J.M. Kramer, who is part of the Lego Church Project in Michigan, and that's part of his evangelization. He does that. Today we're going to talk about evangelism here as well. So, Ed, I know you're involved with the St. Paul street evangelization. What got you involved with evangelizing?
Well, it started out a long time ago. I was at Northern Arizona University on a basketball scholarship. I went home one summer, the first summer when I was a freshman, and I was living a life of debauchery, very bad life, sex, drugs, rock and roll. And I wasn't going to church. It was about me. That's all it was about. And so I went and I worked at a place called Marie Callender's. And at Marie Callender's, my boss asked me to close up the shop one night. And it was a Sunday night, August the 3rd in 1970s. And I said, I don't know what to do. So he showed me what to do, how to put the money in the safe. I said, I don't know the combination. He said, you don't have to know it. I'll leave it open. So I said, then what do I do? And he told me how to do these punch cards. You know, those little punch cards that they have a long time ago. So I cleaned up the kitchen, let all the busboys out, let all the waitresses out, did the money first, put it in the safe, put the coins in a bag, put it in there, put the piece of paper, how much money it was $5,000. And I spun the dial exactly how it said four times. So I did that. Then I started doing the time cards and I did about five or six of them. And the door behind me opened up. And three guys with ski masks and a shot-off shotgun and a handgun and a crowbar were behind me. And I said, table for how many? No, I didn't say that. But I said, they said, open the safe. And I said, I don't know the combination. I'm just a cook. So they hit me on the head with the crowbar. And when they hit me on the head with the crowbar, I said, look, I really don't know the combination. I'm just a cook. And I had my white pants on, my white shirt. And so then they hit me really hard with that crowbar and they put the gun in my head and they said, we're going to blow your brains out unless you open up that safe. So I said, I saw blood go on the wall next to me. And I thought, oh, that's part of me. And so I flipped the lid open of the safe and I started trying to open it. And each time I failed, because I didn't know the combination, they would hit me again and stick the gun in my face and say they were going to kill me. And so I tried this, and this went on for about 45 minutes, where I kept trying and they failing and hitting and saying they're going to kill me. And then I finally said, look, there's a hand truck out back. Why don't you get the hand truck and wheel it home, and you can blowtorch it open. Two of them went in back. The third one sat me outside of the little office and put this handgun in my neck. And I could feel the handgun in my neck. And when I had that handgun in my neck, I said, okay, God, long time no talk. I hadn't been to church in 2 years. And I said, if you get me out of this, I'll become an altar boy again. And And I started seeing my family, my mom, my dad, my five siblings, my girlfriends, everybody in front of me. And then finally I said, I want to do an act of contrition. I did an act of contrition. When I did the act of contrition, it's like all the pressure was gone. It's like, you guys could kill me now. That's how I felt. And I learned later on of the theology behind that about, you know, baptism through you know, blood. And so I said, okay, so as soon as I finished the act of contrition and I said, you guys can kill me now, they came and put the shotgun in my forehead and they clicked it back and they said, you have one last chance, then we're going to kill you. So I walked over to the safe that was now in the middle of the kitchen because they couldn't put it on the hand truck. It was too heavy. And I spun it and it opened. And when it opened, I went, thank you, Jesus. And then they said, knock them out. They started wailing on my head with that crowbar. And I put my hand back and I could see a crowbar shape on my finger. And I went down and they hit me about 10 more times when I was down. I laid there for about 5-10 minutes, found a dime, went outside to the payphone, called 911, spent 4 days in the hospital, had 60 stitches in the back of my head and fixed my finger. And I decided to follow Jesus. And so I started reading books by Frank Sheed that really were fantastic books, you know, Theology and Sanity and just phenomenal books. And then I got involved with apologetics with Carl Keating's book called Fundamentalism and Catholicism. And when I did that one, my brother gave it to me. And when I read it, I went, whoa. 12 groups, anti-Catholic groups in the United States. I said, we got to battle these guys. And so I started having classes in Las Vegas on apologetics. And I did it for about 15 years. I had people helping me. I had priests helping me. It was phenomenal. We had it on one side of the city, then the next side of the city. We had it at all kinds of different places. And during that time period, I had a whole bunch of people bring Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals, sisters and brothers to my classes, and they all became Catholic.
Amazing.
Which was praise amazing. God. I know. One of them became a priest. He was a Baptist and he became a priest. And then I got phone calls from people too. I got a lady that called me one day. She said, hey, my coworker said you could answer my question. And I said, what's your question? And she said, well, it says in the Bible, all have sinned. You guys say Mary was without sin. How do you explain that? And I said, well, what church do you go to? And she said, I go to Wesley so-and-so church. And I said, I've never heard of it. She said, you've never heard of it? We have 3,000 people at that church. And I said, well, our church has 1.2 billion. And she goes, well, anyway, I said the reason that Mary was without sin was because of when Jesus, when Moses had the Ten Commandments and when David built the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had three things in it. Do you know what was inside of that? And she said, her name was Talia, by the way. I said, do you know what was inside of it? And she said, yes, I do, because I was raised Baptist and I know the Bible well. And I said, okay. I said, what was in it? She said, the Ten Commandments, the bread, the manna from heaven, and the shepherd's staff. And I said, yes. I said, you do know the Bible well. Good for you. And I said, but I said, the Ten Commandments was also called, because it was written by God, it was the Word of God, right? And she said, yes. And I said, and the manna from heaven, that was the bread from heaven, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, and the shepherd's staff was symbolic of the shepherd leading the people, the head Levite. And she said, yes. And I said, who else was called the bread from heaven, the Word of God, and the high priest? And she said, Jesus. And I said, yes, Jesus was in that Ark of the Covenant. And if he was in that Ark of the Covenant, because it says all things were created through him in Colossians. And so if he was in that Ark of the Covenant, then what happened to Uzzah? Why did he carry that thing when he put his hand on it in Chronicles, when he put it up on that thing in Samuel chapter 7? He put his hand on the thing. What happened to Uzzah? She said, he died. And I said, but why did he die? She said, well, probably because he had sin on his soul. I said, yeah, because nothing could unclean could touch that Ark of the Covenant. And so I said, now let's fast forward to a little 16-year-old girl named Mary, where the angel says, full of grace, doesn't even call her by her name, calls her full of grace. And she says, how could she possibly carry that same bread from heaven, that same high priest, that same word of God inside of her and have sin on her soul? If she would have had that, she would have died. And she went, I never thought of that. And so found out Talia came to my classes the next day, the next Wednesday, and she said, first of all, she's African-American. She's an attorney. She's a judge now in Las Vegas. And she spoke five languages fluently. She went to Harvard Law School, too. So she is phenomenal. And she's on fire for the church now. And it's wonderful to have that. But that's how all of a sudden started. And then I saw on Facebook a post by a guy named Steve Dawson. And Steve Dawson is the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization. He showed his little sign that he had. It was a big sandwich board sign. And he did it on the Willamette River up there. I called him and I said, I can do that too in Las Vegas. And so I started doing it in Las Vegas. I got called a bunch of friends of mine and we went out to Lake Las Vegas to start with. And then we went Sunset Lake. It's called Sunset Lake. It was January of 2013 or 2013, I think it was. And we started there and then we went to the Strip and we started handing out rosaries and medals and CDs and pamphlets on the Strip. And we got to talk to every religion in the world. I talked to Zoroastrians. I talked to Muslims. I talked to Jewish people. I talked to every Christian religion.
So being on the Strip, I mean, obviously people are there. There's a lot of alcohol flowing. There's a lot of other things flowing. I'm just going to leave to other people's imaginations. But what was that experience like? Did you get anyone that was hostile to you? What was your approach with that?
When we had one guy I remember was very hostile. He was African American guy. He said, "Why do you have a white Jesus on that sign?" Because we had a sign that had the Sacred Heart of Jesus on one side, the Immaculate Heart of Mary on the other. And I said, because he showed me in scripture, it says it's a bronze thing in Revelation, bronze thing. And I said, it makes no difference what color Jesus is. I said, it makes no difference. I see you as a brother in Christ. That's all I see you as. I don't know if you see me as that, but I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And so he calmed down. And I said, but that was the only antagonistic time I can remember in the 2 years that I did it on the Strip. I had people that came up to me and they would say, what do you mean Catholic truth? Because our sign said Catholic truth on it. He said, that's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as Catholic truth. And I would say, come Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gave me things to say. And I'd say, Jesus lived for 33 years. And for the last, those 3 years of his life, he taught his apostles everything to preach to the world, right? And they'd say, right. And I'd say, and everything that he taught them is not found in the Bible, right? And they said, oh, yes, it is. And I said, okay, let's get my Bible. We look at it. We go to the last sentence of John's gospel that says, if everything Jesus did was put in the books of the world could not contain it. I said, that's a lot of books. I said, and they'd say, okay, everything's not in the Bible. And they would admit, finally. And then I'd say, and then after Pentecost happened, they went out and they preached the word. And they had guys living with them. The guys who lived with them were their scribes who wrote down everything they said. And when you read what those early church fathers wrote, from Ignatius of Antioch to Clement of Rome, Tertullian, Polycarp, you know, all the way up to Justin Martyr, I said, they said that the Bishop of Rome is in charge. You baptize your infants. There's real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. You confess your sins to a priest. Everything the Catholic Church does, that's why it says Catholic truth. And they go, hey, can I get your card? And I give them my card. And I got emails back from guys that I had no idea I was coming to Las Vegas to become Catholic.
Well, you talk about all these quotes from the church fathers. When I first I guess how I came into the church is I started studying the church fathers to prove that they were Catholic. Here I am, Catholic apologist, Catholic apologist show. I'm getting involved with your organization now. God works in, they say God works in mysterious ways. That's the truth.
He does.
Now, it sounds like along the way on the strip, you're not pushing yourself on people. You're just kind of there. You're answering questions. It's planting seeds. Is that kind of what you're doing?
That was exactly it. We would say, would you like a free rosary? Would you like a free miraculous medal? That's how we started the conversation. And then if they said yes, we'd say, are you Catholic? And if they said yes, we'd say, are you a practicing Catholic? And 9 times out of 10, they would say, well, not as practicing as I should be. And I'd say, well, let me show you why you should be. And so we'd give them a pamphlet or a brochure. If they said they were not Catholic, we'd say, well, did you know that there's about 200,000 Protestants that pray the rosary? There are. And they'd say, oh, I didn't know that. And I'd give them how to pray the rosary. And I'd say, what church do you go to? And they'd say, and I'd say, how is God treating you in your church? And they would say, oh, well, okay, I guess. Oh, we just switched churches. You know, that happens a lot. 25% of Protestants switch churches every year. So it was just a wonderful experience. I had a Hindu priest pray over me on the strip. He said, I love what you're doing here. Let me pray over you. And I also had a Pentecostal minister pray over me.
Amazing.
It was amazing. You get all kinds, and we had Spider-Man come up and he took a rosary. We had Batman. Another contest. It was so funny.
Now, obviously, within the Catholic Church, there are a lot of people who aren't attending Mass on a weekly basis. And obviously, that's very unfortunate. It's a travesty, really.
It is.
And I think there's a lot of reasons for it. I think there's this culture within the laity, anyway, that evangelism is strictly for the priest. It's for the bishop. Our job is just to go to Mass and to go leave and do our thing. Obviously, you and I disagree on that very
much. Yes.
But why is that? Why is it something that's not just for the bishop and the priest?
Because of what Jesus said. He said, today's gospel, today's the feast of St. Andrew. And he took normal, ordinary people. Andrew got his brother Peter, John got his brother James and Jesus said these words to him. He said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's to lay people, he said it to. A fisherman and a fish, two fishermen, four fishermen. And so I'm not a fisherman, but I'm now a fisher of men. And so I have brought in Sierra Vista here probably about 20 people back into church that haven't been in a long time. I have plans to knock on the doors of everyone in our parish. We have 2,300 families, and I'm going to get their addresses. And me and a guy named Larry and a bunch of four of my friends, we're all going to go and knock on their doors and say, can we pray for you? We're going to the Adoration Chapel. We'd like to pray for your needs. And in the meantime, here, take this stuff. Take the Miraculous Medal. Take all this stuff like that so that they can all of a sudden start coming back. They did that in this book. We have this book that has, in the last chapter, is Father Mike, who did it in outside of Rochester, New York. And he actually got a whole slew of people to come back when he did that. So I'm going to do the same thing here, because if you only have 30, we have about 30% going to Mass every Sunday at our parish. And the average in the United States is 22% that only go to Mass. So if we can go to talk to those people and say, hey, did you know that the happiest people in the world are those who go to church every week? There's a whole big Alatia article about that that had the studies on it. And so we're going to give them that. Say, all your troubles can be solved by God. They can too. Right. So that's what we plan on doing.
Now, for the listeners tuning in, yes, Know the Faith, Defend the Faith is an apologetic show, but apologetics in my opinion, is a subset of evangelization.
Right.
What they both go together.
They do.
But to be an apologist, I think sometimes we get into the habit of wanting to win the argument, and in the process of winning the argument, we lose the soul because we become ungracious. How do you think we can get these people to come back to Mass? You said 30% in your parish, 22% nationwide.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
The way you can do it, I think, is by giving them, first of all, Miraculous Medal has brought thousands of people back. If they put on the Miraculous Medal, they come back. I have friends on Facebook that I sent Miraculous Medals to. This lady, her name is Gloria, she gave it to her to-be husband, who's not Catholic, and he's wearing the Miraculous Medal, and now he's starting to warm up to the church and be going to RCIA, because that's what happens. So we give them these gifts of things, and we give them the information about the happiest and longest living people are those that go to church every week. The NPR, of all companies, went out and did this study, and they found out that the happiest people are the ones that went to church every week. So we're going to show them that. And then the second time we go out to them, we're going to show them about hell. What happens if you don't go? No, I'm just
kidding. Scared straight.
Scared straight.
So do you think a lot of people are just looking for that invitation back?
Oh, absolutely. Sherry Waddell wrote a book called, I forget the name of it, but it's on our website, that talks about there's like over half of the ones that left that are not going to church anymore. All what they want is an invitation. And that's why it's going to be easy to get a lot of them back. Those are low-hanging fruit, as they say. And then the other ones who have joined another church or say, no, I got you got abused by a priest or somebody was mean to me in the church. Those are the tough ones. And those ones you pray for. And you ask them, can I pray for you? And when you go, you do pray for them. And all of a sudden, God melts hearts.
So, folks, invite those people back to church who have been away for a while.
Exactly.
So you're the team leader for the Sierra Vista team of St. Paul Street Evangelization. Tell us a little bit about your team. How many people do you have with you? How's ministry going down there in Sierra Vista? And for those that don't know, Sierra Vista is about 75 miles southeast of Tucson here. We're all in the same diocese.
I've had about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've had about 7 or 8 people join me at different times down when I've evangelized. We've done it at the events in Sierra Vista because there's no walking traffic here. So what we do is we go to events. And so we had the West End Fair where thousands of people came and we gave out tons of meals. We got a couple that said, hey, I'm looking for a church. We've been to about 6 of them. And we gave them information. Now they're in RCIA. So they had to get their marriages straight, but they're still in RCIA. They know that the Catholic Church is the true church. And so we did that. We've done that every single year. We've also gone to the 4th of July event where we've done that. And then we've gone to Douglas where the county fair for Cochise County Fair is. And we've handed out things over there and talked to people down there. I have a friend named Robert who he and I, we've gone down to Bisbee. Bisbee has a lot of walking traffic. And there's a park in front of the museum there. And we set up in front of the park and we got, I think, 20 people to go back to church to St. Patrick's there in Bisbee. It was just amazing to tell them about how much God loves them and he's crazy about you. And so he wants you back. And so they go, he does? Okay, I'm there. So we did that. We've gone to Tombstone, where my pastor is now over the Sacred Heart Parish of Tombstone because the priest who was a Franciscan went back to his community. And so Father Greg is now in charge of that. And he asked me, he called me and he said, Ed, can you go to Tombstone and evangelize? and I said, sure. So we went down there. We set up on the park. When they had the El Dorado days, I asked if I could have a booth. They said no. So we just went down and handed out Miraculous Medals to 1,000 people. It was fantastic. So we do that any chance we get, and I do it just naturally when I go to fast food places, when I go to the post office, when I go to every place. I'm always handing something to somebody, a miraculous medal, a rosary or something. My card that has all these talks on the back of it, you know, you can do that. And we've gotten some people that have that finally came back.
Amen. So where can our listeners go if they want to know more about St. Paul Street Evangelization, maybe how to contact you if you have questions? Well, myself too, they can contact, and yes, I'll get with you. But
yeah, they can either text me, call me, email me. I take anybody's calls. My phone number is 520-678-0897, 520-678-0897. And if you want to go to, my email is Edward Gravelin, and that's spelled EDWARDGRAVELINE at gmail.com. Our website is this one. I've got tons of stuff on this thing. I'll just tell you some of the things we have on this. We have video courses, 56 video courses, all about 5 minutes each, teaching you how to share the faith and how to live a holy life. That's what that's about. That's the main gist of this website. It's evangelizationschool.com, evangelizationschool.com. And we also have team leader training. There's 38 short videos on getting a team going, if you want to do that. There's 10 ways to become a better evangelist. It's a nuts and bolts on how to share your faith better. And there's study questions on all of these too. We have entertaining angels hospitality. That's how to make a parish an evangelizing parish. There's 6 handouts and 4 videos. We have basic evangelization training. This is written courses. We have the Catechism with Father John Hardin, written, edited by Cardinal Leo Burke. He's on our board.
John Hardin has great stuff.
he does. We've got part 1 and part 2 for that, for the Catechism. We've got evangelization apologetics. We've got 300 pages, and I wrote about 30 of these pages in here, about evangelizing using apologetics when you need to, only when you need to. I'd say when I was on the Las Vegas Strip and when I've been here in Sierra Vista, I've used it maybe 10 times is all. That's all. And each time the Holy Spirit told me what to say. We have catechetical instruction from St. Thomas Aquinas, which is phenomenal. We have, we're working on a release schedule for new videos. We have introduction to evangelization, something called One Good Reason. That's a tool that we use to evangelize. Healing in evangelization. We've had healings in our evangelization. We wrote a second book called Evangelization, Healing and Evangelization by Steve Dawson and Mark Hornbacher. And that book has a ton of stories about what's happened. I was blessed to have somebody ask me to pray over them. And she had a torn cartilage in her knee. Her name was Annie. And we were in our hall at our church. And I said, okay, I'll pray for it. So I asked Jesus to heal it, and it got healed. I had a lady in Marana. We got asked to have a booth up at St. Christopher's up there in Marana. And lady came by and she said she had blurred vision and her body was working. I asked Jesus, I asked them, do you have any unforgiveness in you? Because if you have unforgiveness, it'll block the healing. If you have pride, it'll block the healing. So I asked her those two things. She did have something unforgiveness. I talked to her about 20 minutes and finally she said, okay, I'm going to let God take care of my sister and I'm going to forgive her completely and totally. I said, now we can pray for you. We prayed for her and then all of a sudden her blurred vision got healed. So that happens all the time. Steve Dawson had a lady that had a one leg 2 inches shorter than the other. He prayed over it and boom, it grew 2 inches instantly. So there's all kinds of cool things like that happening.
What's that website again?
It's, well, you can go to St. Paul Evangelization, and STPAUL Evangelization is what it is. And then you go to the school. They ask for donations. And if you want to donate, that's great, because we need the money, because it costs a lot of money to provide all the brochures, the medals, all of the things that we have. But if you don't have any money, you can go to the bottom and scroll to the bottom. It says, click here if you don't or can't afford it. And it'll take you another page that says, do you want to do a one-time thing? And if you click to the bottom, it says, click on this link, and it'll get you in for free.
So, all right. Well, guys, support it if you can. If not, you still have all those resources there to learn more about your faith, learn more about defending your faith, learn more about sharing your faith. It's an awesome organization, awesome website.
And the website also has printable tracts. You can print out the things we hand out for free, 34 of them. We've got Catholic audio, where talks from Scott Hahn to John Martinoni to Peter Kreeft, Dr. David Anders, Carlo Broussard, Dr. John Bergsma, Father Mike Schmitz, tons of talks for free. We've got now 800 free books you can download on the website on an ebook.
Phenomenal.
800. We've got a team development center. We've got conferences. You go to the conferences. You can go to any of the conferences that cost $500 to go to for free. It's just amazing. And we got a store with all the medals and everything else you want. So,
right. Well, Ed, thank you for taking some time just to talk about the great work you're doing and how we could learn more about it. Thank you for reaching out to me a few months ago to help start a team in Tucson. So that's coming in the next couple of months. I'm going to finish up these videos, and I have a couple of people on the fence. We're going to get them to cross over.
My prayers are with you. We're praying for you guys, all the new guys. You know, there's another team in Casa Grande. There's one in Yuma as well, too. And we're praying for all of them, that they will all of a sudden see the light of Christ in everybody.
Amen. We're getting Arizona covered here, so that's fantastic.
Yes, it is.
All right, Ed. Well, God bless you, too. And thanks again for spending some time today.
You're welcome. Right,
happy Advent.
Happy Advent. Yes, it is Advent.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.